Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 19th of November, recording at 9:16 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, this being Friday, this is the big picture long-term outlook for the various asset classes. But first, let's have a quick review of the week. In stock markets, it's been a week of mainly reactions and consolidations. In Asia, China and India had some of the bigger pullbacks, less so for the most part among the ASEAN group, although that was a bit mixed. European stock markets mostly had small pullbacks. This is a continuation of some of the easing that we'd seen last week. But Germany's a notable exception, and it hit a new high for the year yesterday and again today. In the Americas, again, we had a good day yesterday after some softness earlier on, again, extending from last week's very overbought condition. And today, it was quite interesting. Wall Street spent almost the entire day with modest losses, but then picked up a little bit towards the close, and we saw gains of up to a quarter of 1%, which the S&P 500 shows. Long-dated government bonds were hit quite hard early in the week, continuing a sell-off. That's bond prices, a sell-off that we had seen commence last week. They steadied a little bit. Well, now mixed here. They're not far off their lows. And the U.S. dollar had extended its rally at the beginning of this week, but yesterday and today, that's been checked after a good run. The yen's a little bit weaker over the week. And precious metals. Now, they had not been immune to the general commodity market shakeout, but there have been some decent bounce backs. Silver has recovered half of its setback, and palladium has recovered, I think, almost two-thirds of its sell-off. Some of the other commodities, though, have remained on the defensive. Crude oil is one of them. The grain and bean complex is another. And corn and soybeans were weaker in here again today. We did have, as I say, quite a big shakeout generally in commodity prices, and that, as I said, that's also started last week. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, reaction and consolidation and some corrections, that really sums it all up. Stock markets had those wonderful 12 consecutive weeks on the upside. That's atypical, has to end in at least a reaction and possibly a pullback towards the rising 200-day moving averages, some mean reversion, in other words. Now, that's still a risk over the short term. A point that I have made in some of these recent audios is to say that while this is a corrective phase, that provided we got some two-way activity rather than just one of those precipitous drops that you can remember sort of around mid-year and a little earlier, provided we didn't get that, that bullish sentiment would not be damaged all that much, and a ranging pause rather than a sharp drop, a ranging pause would look very much like little more than just the pause that refreshes. A consolidation of recent gains and some lateral movement towards those moving averages so that indices are less overextended. That seems to be what we're getting here overall. There is a trend towards gradual monetary tightening led by Asia. Now, monetary tightening eventually kills off bull markets, but not until you get certainly real interest rates that are beginning to create a little bit of pain. And today, we still have negative interest rates, in other words, below the rate of inflation. And one of the reasons for that is that these countries were loath to remove their very accommodative monetary policies too early in case Wall Street did get the double dip. Now that looks less likely, and Fuller Money never thought we'd see the double dip, as you may recall. So we are getting a shift in monetary policy, but a gradual one. And another reason for that is that these countries did not want to see their currencies pushed up too quickly by adverse interest rate differentials, since there aren't going to be any rate hikes in the United States anytime soon, I would wager. So at this stage, you net it all out, and monetary policy is still favorable, particularly in the USA, and of course that money gets exported around the globe and has been a major source of fuel for the booming stock markets that we've seen. But they're also justified by the strong Asian-led growth, indeed the growth of most emerging progressing economies. And the growth in North America is not as bad as people had feared. It's sluggish, all right, but multinational companies are doing exceedingly well, provided they are leveraged to the Asian-led growth sectors. So that's not all that bad a picture in terms of monetary policy. And I had been worried about the buildup of commodity inflation, which was becoming quite rapid, but that's taken a quick and fairly sharp step backwards. So that's blown the froth off that commodity market advance, and that's also favorable news for stock markets. It may also cushion the bond markets a little bit overall. So my feeling is, as far as stock markets are concerned, that we will see a continuation of this ranging reactive phase. I think at the very worst, at the end of the day, we'll see some corrections towards the MAs by some of the more volatile markets. But it's not a bearish scenario at all. The sentiment always deteriorates a wee bit or a lot when we are in these reaction phases, and that tends to be a contrary indicator overall. Another factor that I should mention in this context is the U.S. dollar. It would not have been good for stock markets if the U.S. dollar had gone into a free fall, because that would look like a crisis, and that would worry markets. So of the things that could go bump in the night, the two greatest concerns, commodity price inflation in particular, and also the dollar, well, they're not looking quite so bad in here today. Now, as I said, it may cushion the government bond prices a little bit. Now, I think as far as stock markets are concerned, though, that we're still in a cyclical bull market here, and that it will continue to be led more often than not by Fuller Money themes. And incidentally, I published a list of those Fuller Money secular themes today. Just as a refresher here, particularly for newer subscribers. And therefore, there's still money to be made in this market before commodity price inflation becomes more serious and before monetary tightening becomes more serious. When will that actually happen? Well, it could be next year, but I don't think significantly in the first few months of the year, and it might take considerably longer. It'll depend on events yet to unfold. A lot will depend on how quickly the U.S. economy recovers to a degree that the Fed feels that it no longer needs to continue with quantitative easing. But I think commodities will probably be the key variable that we'll want to keep an eye on, and obviously this is something we do on a daily basis. Okay, what about these long-dated government bonds? Well, I maintain that the yields are in a bottoming-out base-building process. That means that bond prices are topping out, and that it's the end of what has been a 30-year magnificent bull market in long-dated government bonds. And that the beginning of the end of the bull market is the beginning of the next secular bear market in these long-dated government bonds. And I've said before, I expect to be shorting them really probably for the rest of my life. The action will often be choppy, as is the case with markets, particularly in a base-building phase before yields move higher with a little bit more gusto. So it's very much of a trading environment overall, and right now I'm just hoping that bond prices pick up a little bit to trigger some of my short selling levels above the market at present. In the very short term, the market is slightly oversold. That's government bond futures I'm talking about. Now, what about these commodity markets? Well, let's take the industrials and the precious metals first. Start with the precious metals. The story is still fairly compelling. It's not a new story. It's 10 years old. But the basic remonetization of gold and its sister precious metals has continued. We have not reached any sort of feeding frenzy phase, which I do eventually expect towards the end of this overall bull market cycle. We are, as with other market categories, we are in a reaction and consolidation phase here right now. But watch the leaders, silver and palladium. When they sustain new highs, and I don't know when that will be. Say they're firm at the moment, silver and palladium. But we don't know if they're going to get back up to those highs and then fall back again and range a little longer. My own feeling is that a more lengthy pause would actually be good for the sector. In other words, spend at least a couple of months sort of ranging around beneath the highs. I think that would be good in terms of building up additional support. But it may come sooner or later, and would be guided by the charts here. But keep your eyes on, I think, silver and palladium, because those are the two that have come to have the most speculative appeal. And the reasons for that really are that palladium has a minimal contango, incidentally, and the feeling is that Russia hasn't got enough palladium to fulfill the likely demand. And the other side of that story is that, well, they may have it, but they're going to tease it out. They're quite happy to sell into a rising market because Russia really does control the world's palladium supply. I think it produces at least 85% of it. So if we're going to get another decent run on the upside, it'll almost certainly be led by palladium and silver, probably palladium first. Why silver? Well, it's because it's high beta gold. It's always been high beta gold. Now, the laggard in here, and the one that I've been holding precisely because it has been laggard recently, or the one I've been accumulating recently because it's been a laggard, is platinum. Now, the platinum comes, I think about 75% of it comes from, 70-75% comes from South Africa. That whenever you get supply coming mostly from one country, if anything goes wrong in that country, such as the power outages that we had a few years ago in South Africa, you get big spikes to the upside. But I think that other investors stroke speculators will also say, well, this may well be the most conservative way to play the precious metal sector here. If you don't want something that's too sexy at the moment, go for platinum. That's my rationale at any rate. But then moving on to industrial metals, I think the one that has probably the most bang for your buck, to coin a phrase in here, is uranium. Because uranium really is interesting. It had been the lagging metal, and it's done a reasonable catch-up with some of the other industrial metals since July. And it was down languishing, saucering base formation down around 40. And then in July it picked up, and it's at 59.50 here today, or I think that'll be the price. That's the futures price indication, and I think we'll see the spot price reflect that when it's updated. we'll be able to tell on Monday. But so it has edged further upwards in here this week, and it's only just completed the base formation. But the story is really quite interesting, and what I've said before is that many subscribers will remember that move to the upside in 2006 and 2007. It was quite strong. I think it went from, what was it, under $40 to up to around 100, was it 133, thereabouts. And in a steady move, because there's no futures contract involving heavy volume for uranium. So you watch that spot price, and it just moved up in an unbroken series of little steps. But it was almost entirely due to speculative activity, because not much was going on fundamentally with uranium. So I refer to that move as the prelude. This, I think, is the real deal, because China has a number of nuclear reactors coming online in 2011, and particularly 2012, which will have to be powered up. So they're stockpiling. India, a lot of other developing economies have power plants that are under development. And most of the uranium is produced by a small number of companies, which we've been writing about recently. And I think that it's attractive from a speculative investment standpoint. In other words, I'm saying that this, I think the speculators are really going to like this, in addition to the investors. I think hedge funds will get involved and get licenses to stockpile yellow cake uranium. There aren't that many shares, as I've already mentioned, to play of any consequence. So this might be quite a lively situation over the next couple of years or more. And if I'm right in this that what we saw in 2006 and 2007 was just the prelude, and that this is a fundamentally driven move, not so many nuclear warheads to decommission either, then we're going to take out that previous high in the uranium price before this move is over. That's my guess. What I'll, of course, be doing is monitoring the charts every step of the way. So could be really quite interesting. Now, what about that grain and bean complex? Well, it's certainly taken a knock. There were obviously a lot of speculative positions in there. I'm looking to buy back in, but not when prices are slipping until or unless they begin to look quite oversold. Incidentally, in commodity markets, a lot of previously short-term, quite overbought conditions have been replaced by short-term oversold conditions. But my guess is that we'll see them ranging for a while, unless the dollar rally unravels more quickly than I expect. Were that to happen, then I think prices would pick up a bit more quickly. What about these currencies? So I think they're mostly going to range. Bernanke has been on kind of his roadshow, speaking in Frankfurt here today, defending his policies. I posted an article on that, and I actually saw his full statement this morning, and he makes a low-key but robust defense of his policies. We've got Warren Buffett trying to, I feel, is my interpretation, that he's read an article that was produced by the Financial Times earlier in the week. I beg your pardon, by the New York Times earlier in the week. It might have also been in the FT, but I've posted it here today. And I think he's trying to calm down some of the emotional rhetoric that we're getting with people chatting angrily at each other in the U.S. In particular, either defending or accusing Bernanke of all kinds of sins. He's fulfilling his mandate, as I've said before, a dual mandate of price stability, there is the other part of it is concerns attempt to create the highest level of employment possible while maintaining price stability. Well, not easy in this environment, but I think that what's likely to happen is that some of the insults and accusations that have been flying around, even among central bankers, that we're going to see a lull in that, and we'll get a lull in the currency market volatility here for a while. On the very long-term trend, I think emerging market, progressing market currencies are most definitely going to move higher. But it's not in anyone's interest that they move higher too quickly. So, as I say, I expect a little bit of stability there over the short term. The yen, I think, could be an exception. The yen really does need to weaken. And I think that the Japanese are wise to this now, or at least they're agreed on this in terms of printing more yen to get that a little bit lower. So I'm maintaining my yen shorts, although I'm out of the money here on those so far. Other key points. Crude oil. This is really the big one. here, and it just pushed up through the upper side of its range. I think it got up to about $88 before falling back quite sharply with a downward dynamic Friday a week ago, and fell back to the $80 level. And currently at 81.60, what that's done is it's fallen back into the range. It's still near the upper side of that range overall, but a range-bound crude oil price is good news for stock markets. A spike up to $100 or more, as some people have been calling for, would not be good news for stock markets. That could become quite a strong headwind in a hurry, depending on how quickly the price moved higher. So the longer crude ranges sideways, the better it will be for both bond investors and equity investors. But I do think that we will see higher crude prices at some point next year, and I wouldn't be at all surprised to see $100 at that point, but I think that's not a short-term prospect. And, I think that's pretty much it. I've covered most of the bases that I wanted to touch in here. So, another interesting week. Most of them are, aren't they? Still lots of opportunities out there for all of us as investors and traders. And I can't wait to discuss it and write about it more next week. Meanwhile, let's all have a great weekend. All the best.